I don't mean to be pushy and I don't mean to be method, but I really think we need to cook together.
Hey, Bomb Squad. Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm your host, Carrie Diamond, coming to you from Brooklyn, New York. We have a special treat for you today. It's Ina Garten and Stanley Tucci. Yes, in conversation from the Julia Jubilee, Cherry Bomb's virtual conference dedicated to the life and legacy of Julia Child. These two met for the very first time over Zoom for a chat about the film Julie and Julia, in which Stanley, of course, played Julia's husband, Paul. They also talk about cooking with Meryl Streep, their love of Nora Ephron, and what they would make for Julia Child if she stopped by for dinner. Ina even drops a little surprise about her pre-Barefoot Contessa days. If you missed the event with Stanley and Ina, here's your chance to listen in. If you're a new listener to Radio Cherry Bomb, you might not know this, but we have a magazine in addition to our podcast, and I am the editor of the magazine. Cherry Bomb magazine comes out twice a year, and it's all about women and food. Our recent Julia Child issue sold out, but we just reprinted it, and you can order a copy right now. Swing by cherrybomb.com to buy the Julia issue, a back issue, or to subscribe. Today's episode is sponsored by Crate & Barrel, one of my favorites. I love their couches, love their cookware, love everything Crate & Barrel does. I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm not really going out on a limb on this one, but summer 2021 is definitely going to be the summer of the picnic. Crate & Barrel not only has all your indoor dining essentials, they have your outdoor ones too. Picnic baskets, wheeled coolers, outdoor wine glasses, and my personal favorite, the table in a bag. Trust me on this one. The table in a bag, and yes, that's what it's called, is perfect for the beach or the park. Sling it over your shoulder or toss it in your trunk. It's only $59.95 and lets you al fresco it anywhere. Visit crateandbarrel.com for more. And thank you so much to Crate & Barrel for being a sponsor of the Julia Jubilee and Radio Cherry Bomb. Now, here's Ina and Stanley.
Hi, Stanley. I'm so happy to see you, even if it's just digitally.
I know, me too. This is a real pleasure to finally meet you.
You must be the busiest guy on the planet. So first, you've got a new movie coming out, Supernova, with Colin Firth, your friend. And of course, we all want to be friends with Colin Firth, right?
Good guy to be friends with, yeah.
You've got a new book called Taste, which is a food memoir, which sounds amazing. And you've got a fabulous series on CNN called Searching for Italy, which I think has gotten rave reviews. I loved it. I absolutely adored it.
Thank you.
And because you didn't have enough else to do, you decided to do a few videos of you making cocktails that went crazy. Yeah. Was that it? You just were bored and you were sitting around the pandemic?
Yes, I just wanted to show everyone how much my wife and I drink. That's all. So, you know, that was just a fluke. Isn't that crazy?
Because I did a Cosmopolitan, and I thought, oh, it'll just be fun. I'll just put it up. I had no idea that people were desperate for a drink or to see somebody having fun making cocktails.
Yeah, exactly. It's really a needed thing now, let's face it.
It was really great. So we promised these guys we'd talk about Julia Child. So can we do that? And then we can just go on about our obsession with food.
Yeah.
So how did the role of Paul Child come to you?
Well, so I was at a friend's Christmas party. Our friend, Meryl and I, a friend was Natasha Richardson. She sadly passed away. But if you want to talk about a great cook, that she was an amazing cook. But so we were at her annual Christmas party, and Meryl said, would you like to play Paul Child in this movie? I'm going to make a Nora about Julia Child. And I said, no, are you kidding? Why would I said yes, of course.
First, how do you say no to Julia?
You say no? Street, yes.
But also to Nora Ephron.
Nora, and also I loved Julia Child. In fact, I wrote about
her
in the book. No, I didn't. I was invited to her I don't know what birthday, it might have been like her 90th birthday or something, and I couldn't go. And I was so sad that I couldn't go. But I remember watching her when I was a kid with my mom. My mom was a huge fan of hers. And so she was such an inspiration for me. She, along with, what's his name? That wonderful British... Keith Floyd. Those two are just the most brilliant sort of TV cooks, you know. They were incredible. Anyway, I just loved Julia Child and, of course, Marilyn Nora. And we ended up doing it about a year later.
You know, you mentioned her 90th birthday. I always remember her being on Larry King for her 90th birthday. And he said, yeah. So, Julia, what's the secret of life to you, of your long life? And she said, well, I have... I eat lots of different things in very small quantities, and I have a very good time. And I thought that's what we all need to do.
She's right.
She was absolutely right.
She knew how to do it. Yeah, yeah.
There are two scenes in the movie that I just adore, and I know you've probably talked about the movie at infinitum, but in Julia. One is when you're in the restaurant, that iconic scene where Julia... tastes the sommelier, and she's trying to decide what to do. Do you remember how the conversation went?
Yeah, I do, because we actually shot that scene down in the village.
You did?
It was one of the first scenes we shot, if I'm not mistaken. And it was so exciting. First of all, I love sommelier.
Yeah, I do too.
It was absolutely delicious. That day, this fellow was making them left and right. And I do remember it. And it was just so much fun. It was a great way to sort of start off things, because we really got to eat. And Nora was great about letting you play around with stuff, too. So once you tasted something, and it really tasted good, it wasn't like most movie food, which tastes terrible. It was real. And you couldn't help but react organically, spontaneously.
She was trying to figure out what to do, and you said to her, well, what do you like to do? And she said, well, I like to eat. And and you said to her, well, you're very good at it. Was
very
that
a
script,
it.
Or was that
no,
just
no,
a
I made, I know, I made it up.
It was just a wonderful moment. It felt like you might have.
I made it up.
I'm so glad it ended up in the script.
Yeah, me too. We laughed. We laughed. Ahead. You know, it was one of those movies that you just, you know, not every movie you make is fun to make. And
of course,
you know this. You know,
but there's a chemistry and organic thing that happens.
Yeah, yeah. With this, the wonderful group of people. I mean, I never got to work with Amy or Chris, sadly. But,
yeah, that's right. They were two different movies.
Yeah, I know. But working with her again after The Devil Wears Prada, and we were becoming more friendly, was just the greatest experience. And excuse me. And she so completely embodied Julia Child. That's extraordinary. It's a really hard thing to do, because she was so mimicked, you know, by Dan Aykroyd, which is actually in the movie. And, you know, everybody, everybody did that.
I mean, I just did it.
Yeah, I know.
That's exactly right. And the thing about it is, it's one thing to create a character that's fictional, because you can really kind of get into it. But in this case, she's creating a character where everybody just adores her and knows her. So it's very hard to do, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's really, really, really hard.
Whereas Paul was less well known, but I mean, you just did such a gorgeous, gorgeous support for her.
Oh, thanks. Well, Paul, it was so much fun, and Paul, you know, Paul had a very, by all accounts, I got to meet his nephew or great nephew,
who wrote the book about
Alex. Yeah, Alex Prudhomme, and who was a really, really wonderful guy and incredibly helpful to me. And he said, you know, he had this real Boston Brahmin accent.
Oh, seriously? Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, no, I can't do that. Because if I do that, and she's doing Julia Child, it's just like, you know, it would just be too many different accents and too much going on. And since nobody knew what he sounded like.
Exactly. Yeah.
It, it was fine. Really, it was about just the support, you know, that he gave her.
Well, I'm assuming this is what Paul was like, because this is what my husband Jeffrey's like, is he never tries to fix anything. He never tries to say, do this or do that. He just always kind of reflects what I want to do and just supports it and encourages it. And that's what it felt like Paul did. Was that true to the character?
Absolutely.
True to the person?
No, absolutely. I think there were times when people have said, you know, he could be quite cantankerous and a bit grumpy and cranky, but I don't necessarily know with her. I think he, you know, he's the one who really felt that she could do all the things that she ended up doing and helped her in any way he could. He used to wash dishes after the television shows and carry her kit and all this stuff for
and
years.
Remember, this was a different time when men weren't second. You know, they didn't share the spotlight with a woman. So it's even more extraordinary in that time.
Yeah, and he was older than she was too, and he ended up going into a nursing home, I think, in his 70s.
I remember that.
He lived in there for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. She went to visit him all the time, but that was a profound love that they had.
Yeah. And I love the playfulness of it. I mean, the thing in the bathtub for Valentine's Day, that was hilarious. It was just hilarious.
I mean, she was funny. I mean, you just know from those shows. And I so remember watching them as a kid and just thinking, that's just the greatest person in the world.
Yeah, because she was exactly who she was. And that's what works on film. It's really, it's really wonderful. So what was I love Nora. I knew Nora.
I know. We were friends. I know.
Tell me what it was like
she
working
with her. Bragged about it.
What?
She bragged about being your
friend.
Yes, she did.
She actually told me she gave Meryl Streep one of my books on that when she was doing that. It was really just so lovely. So tell me what it was like working with Nora. I imagine she created a set that was like a party.
Well, it was like a party. It was just fun. There was nothing not fun about it. You know, she was very exacting. She never over-directed you, but she was still very exacting. She wanted it to be this way. This is how we're going to shoot it, and it's going to be like this. And I personally love that because
you know what to do.
Yeah, you know what to do. There's nothing worse than watching a director flounder around, you know, sort of going, and you're like, can we go now? Because we'll eat dinner. But she was great. And of course, she you know, she wrote it. So it was very, she was very specific. And yet still there was a lot of room to play.
Yeah.
A lot of room to play. And for Meryl and I, who both like to improvise and have no issue with that at all. Some actors don't like to do it, but I love to do it.
Yeah.
She was really great about it. And then she knows it's her movie. If she doesn't like it, she'll just cut it out later.
Yeah, that's great. So can I tell you my favorite Nora story about food?
Yeah.
It was, I don't know how many years ago, I'm thinking like 8. She and Nick, her husband Nick Pileggi, decided to go to Turkey. Sometime around Christmas, and they were coming back through Paris. And she called to say, are you in Paris? And we were. So we made a date to have lunch together on, it was the day of Christmas Eve. So it was like we were meeting at noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon to have lunch together. And we took them to a restaurant called Le Recamier, which is famous for its souffles. It's kind of a place that like the top government officials hang out. The Obamas went there when they were in Paris. It's just a wonderful place. So here we are at this table in Recamier. It was a gorgeous, sunny, cold day in Paris, having lunch, drinking champagne, eating souffles, just having the most hilarious time, because you can only have a hilarious time with Nick and Nora. And at some point during the lunch, Nora raises her glass, her champagne glass, and says, to quote Lorna Leroy, who was the great restaurateur of, in New York, to quote Lorna Leroy, to better times. And of course, there wasn't a better time. So we all just fell over laughing hysterically. it was a moment. And then six months later, she died. And only 6 months later did I realize she had just found out that that there was nothing they could do for her. And it was so Nora, in this terrible time, she wanted to make sure everybody was having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it was denial and she was just having a wonderful time herself, but everybody at that table beside us, of course, knew that that it was a terrible time. So it was such Nora irony and joy and all of those layers that she was so extraordinary.
She was so beautifully ironic.
Yeah.
And
it just shows in that moment to me exactly who she was.
Yeah.
If Julie and Paul Child were coming to dinner, what would you make for them?
I would probably, well, I certainly wouldn't make anything French. That's for sure.
I certainly wouldn't. Yeah.
No, I would.
You want to make what you love.
Yeah. I would make some of what I love and what I know. I wouldn't experiment with that.
Oh, no, I wouldn't either.
No. I wouldn't even make a roast chicken for her. Something supposedly very simple, but actually, in some ways, it isn't very
really,
simple.
It isn't. Chicken. Yeah.
No, it isn't. And it's one of the greatest things in the world, but you have to know how to do it. Otherwise, you know, it's dry or it's whatever.
Oh,
it
it's
is.
Just awful. Yeah. Oh, it's and awful. It's so easy to make a good one. You just have to know how to, as you say,
yes, you
know
just
how
have
to do
know
it.
How to do it.
Yeah.
But I think I might make something like. I would probably make either pasta alla vongole, which is just so simple.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. It's three ingredients. You know, it's nothing. Or I would even do like a chopino. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I love chopino.
Yeah, something like that. Like a simple fish
really rustic
stew. Yeah, with toasted bread and then maybe some. You know, really something simple for an appetizer and a salad. And that's it.
That sounds
good. And lots of wine.
Lots of wine. And she would love it. She'd be so happy.
Yeah. Supposedly, Julia Child said she sort of dismissed Italian cuisine at one point.
She did, actually. I've heard this. I don't know whether it's true or not.
I read it somewhere and I was horrified. But then somebody, I think it was Alex, who said to me, he goes, oh, she loved it. Are you kidding? She just would say that. It was just to get people, you know, she loved Italian food.
What I had read, and I have no idea whether it's true or not, is that she dismissed Italian cooking because she goes, it's not cooking. And that's it's exactly what we love about it. Because it's about good ingredients that are just prepared and put together, like the pasta alla vongole. It's, you know, three ingredients, but they're really good ingredients.
Right. Because if you follow, I mean, having made, well, actually, Meryl and I made the Blanquette de Veau.
On the film?
No, we did it. When we were getting ready for the film, and I said to her, I was in New Zealand making the lovely bones. And I talked to her on the phone and I said, look, I don't mean to be pushy. And she was working on something and we had this very limited period of time where we could sort of be together before we started filming. And I said, I don't mean to be pushy and I don't mean to be method, but I really think we need to cook together. To just once in the kitchen, we'll cook, we'll make a meal for my late wife, Kate, and a mutual friend of ours, and Don. And she goes, all right, okay. So make one of Julia's recipes. All right,
okay. How wonderful.
So we picked Blanquette de Veau, and she made a tarte tatin, which was delicious. But of course, we didn't have all the ingredients that we thought we had everything. She said she thought she had everything. She didn't. So then we had to go shopping and then this and then it got late and then it got this. We were supposed to eat at 8. We ate at 10. but the Blanquette de Veau was really, really, really good. They're very, you know, they're quite complex. I mean, you know, Julia's recipe for and I'm calling her Julia. But, you know, her recipe for beef bourguignon is like,
it's like four pages long. I know that recipe. Like four
pages
well.
Long. Exactly. You know that. And I was like, are you kidding? How? It can't be that complicated.
I took that recipe actually and simplified it. And I also found that when Julia was making it, it was the beef was really tough. Yeah. So you had to cook it forever. If we cook our beef forever, it's like it gets kind of dry and stringy. So I started taking it out of the oven after 3 hours, and then I made another one, took it out after two and a half hours. It's supposed to cook, hers cooks for 4 hours, and it doesn't. It cooks in 2.5 hours, and I swear to God, it takes less time to make my recipe than it does to read hers. I mean, it's just so complicated, and it's really much simpler now.
And it's like every third step is, and then add butter, and you're like,
well, I don't have a problem with that.
At one point, I thought, Jesus, I know I can't, like, I cannot add more butter to this. Although, Nora always said, and I have this apron that Nora gave us all.
Oh, do you? Oh, what does it say?
All the time that says, is there anything better than butter?
That's so Nora. Isn't that great? I love that. So will you tell me the story of how you met Felicity? Because I think it was at a wedding, right?
Yes, it was at Em's wedding. Yeah, it was at Emily's wedding. And I actually had met her at the Devil Wears Prada premiere.
Just
briefly, and then I after Kate died, I took the kids to Italy and my parents and Kate's dad, and we went to Italy for a few weeks to Tuscany because we always wanted to do that with the kids and we weren't ever able to. So we went, and Em was getting married at George Clooney's house because.
Everybody gets married at George Clooney's house.
That was using cash. Yeah. It's strapped for cash. So I said, I'm going to go to the wedding. And I took the train from Florence. And I went there, and it was such a beautiful wedding. It was the most beautiful wedding. And Meryl was there too. And it was gorgeous, gorgeous. And I met Felicity, and I was coming to. We hit it off. We talked about food.
And didn't she just like eat more than you'd ever seen anybody eat in their lot in your life? Never. But this is the woman for me.
No, she still does it. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. You should see I will send you a picture of our pantry. We're both voracious eaters. And she's tall and slender, and I was like, how do you put it away like that? We met, and then I was coming to London to do a film, and I said, okay, well, let's get together and have dinner. And then that was it. I was like, wow, that is incredible. And she knew every great restaurant, she knew, you know, and she wasn't like, it wasn't like, oh, this is the fanciest restaurant. It was, this is a great restaurant.
Yeah, that's what I like. I don't like the fancy restaurants. I think that, the way you feel about Italy is the way I feel about France. It's not like it's, you know, my family came from a shtetl, not from Paris. But, but your family actually came from Italy. Where in Italy did they come from?
They came from Calabria, which is where Nick's families came.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Nick and Gay Talese, their family is from Calabria as well. Incredibly poor, which is why so many Italians from basically Naples down
came here
because the poverty was staggering. I mean, you just had these what they used to call seniors, the French word for like a landowner. Yeah. And you were basically an indentured servant.
Incredible.
But they ate really well.
Yeah.
But that's the genesis of the cuisine. is because it's the cucina povera. And but even up in Piemonte, even up in Lombardy, which were wealthier, there were wealthier parts, but still most of the people were incredibly poor. And so they relied on whatever, excuse me, was available to them. And they were able to cultivate, learned how to cultivate things that nobody would be able to cultivate in those climates or those regions.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, that's one of the things about your series, Finding Italy, which is so extraordinary. It's not only, I mean, Americans think of pasta and pizza. It's certainly not the cuisine, you know, I mean, it's just, it's part of the cuisine, but also the different areas and how unique they are. I mean, Bologna, I watched the show on Bologna. I just wanted to get on a plane and go there immediately. Not to mention Massimo Bottura. Is he at Dahl? Isn't he just wonderful? He's like an overgrown child who's just his delight and his just, he's just thrilled with everything. That has been really fun to go around with him.
Yeah, I love him. And you've met him.
I've never met him in person, but he did a wonderful like a dish for me on a Thanksgiving show that I did. And he just felt like a 6 year old just having so much fun cooking. And I could see it with you too. It's just adorable. Yeah, we kind of emailed each other, but I've never had a chance to meet him.
He's a really lovely guy. And his wife is from
she's American.
Yeah.
Right.
She's American. She grew up right where I grew up. She grew up in Bedford. And I grew up in Katona.
Oh. Yeah, and I grew up like a half a mile in Connecticut from Bedford. So when I meet her, we'll.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. She is amazing. Amazing. Incredible woman. She told me, she said, I was a waitress at the Friendly's in Mount Kisco.
Isn't that great? We all had jobs, starter jobs that don't have anything to do with
them. I don't know. I love that.
I worked at a strip joint in the back office.
Really?
I don't think I've ever said that out loud before, Stanley. No. So we'll keep it with us, right?
They might have to edit that out. Yeah.
So in your travels around Italy, you saw so many products. Was there one in particular that you just adored that was surprising to you?
Oh, that's interesting. I think that the cheese in Lombardy, the Bitto cheese, which is a cheese that's sort of akin to Parmigiana, but is aged for even longer. It can be aged up to 18 years.
Wow.
And it has a little bit of goat's milk in it, which allows it to be aged longer for some reason.
And so is it a little tangier and a little sharper?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And
it's a lot tangier and a lot sharper.
Yeah. And this guy makes it in a traditional way that the European Union changed the rules, but he makes it in the old fashioned way. And some of these wheels will sell for thousands and thousands. And it's the most expensive cheese in the world. And it's made by this guy in this little place. It's absolutely incredible cheese.
Tell me the name of it again.
Bitto, Bitto.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
fabulous.
I've never heard of anything like it. And they use it in pizzoccheri. We would normally use Parmigiana in it because we don't have access to Bitto, but it's traditionally, because it's from that area, as is pizzoccheri, that's what they use.
Isn't that fabulous? Because, I mean, an aged Parmesan can be just extraordinary, really just so nutty and sharp and just extraordinary. Yeah,
like the one I tasted with Massimo was extraordinary. The Bitto is on another plain. It's a very different cheese, but it has the hints of Parmigiana.
Really. Yeah, that sounds fabulous. Wow.
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
Is there a show that you did that you think, oh, I loved doing that show? Like certain shows just go, you go, yeah, that's okay. That was, is there one that you go, oh, I love that?
Well, actually, interestingly, it involved Emily, because Rob Marshall and John DeLuca came to me and said they were doing Mary Poppins Returns. They just finished filming. And could we do a show together? And I was like, who would say, I mean, it's like saying Meryl asking you if you want to be Paul Child. Like, no, I'm not interested. But as the time got closer and closer, and Rob said to me, what I'd love for you to do is come into New York and see the movie before we actually do the show together. Yes. So you'll know about Lin-Manuel and Emily, and you'll know, you know, what the setup is for the So I went into New York, and they put me in a screening room. I thought by myself to watch the movie before it had ever been shown. And I was so, I mean, there were tears in my eyes the entire time. And I was just like singing along and dancing and having such a good time. And then after the movie was over, I got up and turned around to leave. And I realized there was a screening guy behind me watching me. I was so embarrassed. But then I came back and we decided that we would make a meal together. So everybody was supposed to bring one thing or make one thing for the meal. So Emily said she was going to make her roast potatoes that her family always made at Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob and John were going to make a cocktail. And Lin-Manuel, who doesn't cook at all, we decided that we would ask him to roast Harry Covert. So Lin's on driving out and he goes, I don't know. He's filming himself in the car. He goes, I don't know. I'm supposed to cook something. I have no idea what it is. I'm there showing him how to roast. I mean, it's basically string beans with olive oil, salt, and pepper.
Yeah.
You put it in the oven.
Yeah.
I mean, even Lin-Manuel Miranda can make that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Emily comes over to him and she says, oh, olive oil, you know what that is, right? And he goes, of course, it's Popeye's girlfriend. And the relationship and the fun between the four of them, Rob Marshall, John DeLuca, Emily Blunt, and Lin-Manuel, was so clear from having made the movie together. And it was so much fun doing that show and putting that meal together that I actually, for the first time, forgot I was filming anything. We were just having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And so it's funny that you would ask me that question because it was about your sister-in-law. And it was just heaven.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely heaven.
Very happy to know that. Let me just tell you something. You are incredible. You're so amazing to watch. It's so effortless.
Oh, Stanley, thank you.
It's also effortless to watch. You know, sometimes you watch somebody and you're like, oh, this is hard work watching that person. Like, you're like, do they know what they're doing?
It's hard work watching you.
Oh, you're very kind.
Thank you.
But it really is, it's just so great. And you've done it. You've done it for so well, so long.
Almost 20 years. Isn't that crazy? Almost 20 years.
I can't believe it's been that long.
I can't believe anybody's getting to watch it.
Yeah, but it's great. I know it's really, really amazing. It's really amazing. And you know, very few people have that staying power. You do.
Well, I kind of do less. I never want to oversaturate it. So when Food Network is saying, can't you do another 60 shows? I'm like, no, I don't think so. I want people to be left wanting more, not less.
that's the thing. You need to leave people. It's like when you do a play, you know, you have these very, very long runs. But I always like to do a shorter run because you should always be left on an inhale. You should always be left not quite knowing, not hating the play. You should be left
Should we leave this conversation right there? leave the audience not wishing we'd said less, not more? Can we promise to make dinner together sometime after
you have no idea how much I would love that.
I would love that. I would absolutely love it. I'll be your sous chef.
Please. Well, no, likewise. I'll do whatever you want. I'll be your Paul Child.
And I'll play Julia. I don't think so. I think there's only one Julia. Stanley, I just love talking to you. Thank you so much. I love your joy. I love your interest in food. And I love really everything you do. It's just wonderful.
Well, I feel the same about you. And thanks so much.
Thank you. So good to see you. And give my love to Emily.
All right, I will, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
See you soon.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much to Ina Garten and Stanley Tucci for their wonderful conversation. How much do you love these two? Check out Ina's latest cookbook, the bestseller, Modern Comfort Food. It is very comforting. And check out Stanley's CNN series, Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy. The show is amazing. If you haven't watched it yet, you really need to, and you will thank me later. If you missed the Stanley and Ina Zoom event, make sure to sign up for the Cherry Bomb newsletter. Learn about our events, special programming, radio episodes, and more. Sign up at cherrybomb.com. Radio Cherry Bomb is produced by Cherry Bomb Media, and this show was edited by Jenna Sadu. Thank you for listening, everybody. You're the bomb.
I'll have what she's having.